Lamb will give you reason to worship him. I hope you're changed just by the Bible reading today. So let's start in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. The theme of this chapter is the resurrection of the Savior. You got the key verses are 19 and 20. 20 verses, 421 words. This particular chapter is a 4.4 grade level. And this chapter contains what's called the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is where he sends his disciples out at the end of the chapter. We'll cover that. But starting at verse 9, it says, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, that they shall not see me. That there they shall see me." Excuse me. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, they had taken counsel. They gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And as we look at this chapter, I want to show you today in this passage the certainties surrounding the commission. The commission, by definition, in this chapter is a verb. It's to go out. It's to order or authorize the production of, or order or authorize someone to do or produce something. And what he's just gave them the commission for is to take the gospel that's there, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teach it to the whole world, and then baptize the converts that respond to that message. Not the ones that per se want to be religious, or those that want to do better, or those that's trying to make it and everybody sins, but to those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that believe that the death, burial, and resurrection of the Savior will get them out of hell and put them in heaven right now. And by saying out of hell, I mean you're headed that way with a hammer down, but when you trust him, your destination changes. The only problem people have with the gospel is this. God doesn't change the, he changes the penalty, but he never changes the consequence. That's the saddest thing I can tell you about the gospel, is he changes the penalty, the destination, but not the consequence. I'm afraid people want the consequence changed and not the outcome. In other words, heaven now, whatever later. Do you feel like that as well? You must, because listen, if that's not the case with the majority of people living on planet Earth, we'd see everybody getting saved. We would. We'd see, but you mean I get saved and my entire bad life's over with? Sure. Who wouldn't trade poor for rich? Who wouldn't trade homeless for a home? Who wouldn't trade all that for better? But you're not accepting a life, you're accepting a person. He'll change your life, but he's not going to take away the consequence of all the dumb things we already did. We get to pay for all that. He pays the sin debt, we pay the consequence debt. It's like this. I've watched people smoke all their lives. They get to the end of their life, or what they perceive as the end of their life. All of a sudden, the doctor says, you got cancer, you got 6 weeks to live. Well, all of a sudden, they're religious. All of a sudden, they're, you know, I'm trying to catch up on things and this, that, and the other. They're thinking getting right with God changes the cancer. It doesn't. God can heal cancer, but he probably won't. Most times, he don't. Do they ask with a sincere heart? As sincere as they get. But God don't change the consequence. He changes the destination. He doesn't change the lifestyle. He changes the person. Therefore, the lifestyle gets changed. He never forces any of that on you either. It's always a choice. You choose Him or you reject Him. But as we look at the certainty surrounding the commission, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love You today, and we thank You, God, for letting us be here and be alive. Help us, God, to take in this precious book today. Give us Your understanding according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. And I pray, God, You'd help me with every fiber of my being to preach what's said here today according to what 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, to preach the Word, being it's an in-season, out-of-season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the certainty surrounding the Great Commission, the first one, if you look down to verse 9, is the certainty of the path of the brethren. And I noticed that something happened here. Here's what happened when Jesus showed up. It says, and they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Now, what about that? That's something they weren't counting on. They were going to report that the body was gone out of the grave. They were going to report what had happened as far as we don't know where He's at. They were going to report all that. Then somebody showed up that nobody's counting on. And that's the way He always works. He always shows up whenever we're not counting on Him to be here. And the greatest thing about it is He looked at them and said, all, listen to this, all hail. That's a call to worship. They responded to that thing. It says in verse 9, all hail, and they came and held Him by the feet and worshiped Him. Now, you got these little technical Bible correctors that say, well, now the Greek technically means they just bowed at His feet. That ain't what it said. By the way, for all the intellectuals out there and the Greek speakers, the Greek doesn't say that either. It says they held Him by His feet. All hail. You know what you got met by this morning when you walked in this door today? That same Jesus. He said, where two are gathered, thou be in the midst. The call to worship's still there. Amen. And watch this. When they held Him by His feet, wait a minute, they touched Him. He said, well, that means there's a contradiction in the Bible. Let's look at that rather closely. Can you agree with me on something today that a contradiction is something you just don't understand? When you read it in the book, it don't make it true either, by the way. And if the book you're reading is Facebook, you really are in for a shock here in a minute. John chapter 20, hold John 20 in one hand and Matthew 28 in another. I'm going to show you this. I'm amazed at how these so-called scholars will say something stupid and people will defend them left and right. Yeah, but I had a book that read such and such. So what? I got a book that says Luke Skywalker pulled out his lightsaber. You believe that too, don't you? It's in a book. It's in print. I got it. I mean, I got it where, listen, I got it where Luke stuck out his hand and tried to raise a spaceship up. Yep. If you suspend your disbelief that he held his hand, that you suspend your disbelief that there's a spaceship sitting there too, by the way. Come on.
Amen.
I remember 1978, the big commercial on this, you will believe a man can fly. And there's Christopher going up in the air. Was he Superman? No. It was a movie. It was fake. But it's also written in the book he done that, so does it make it true? And by the way, I trust the comic book, the funny papers, more than I do half these Bible scholars that correct this Bible. In fact, if I have a preference between the two, I'll read the funny papers. It says they held Him up by His feet and worshiped Him. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 14 says, about Mary Magdalene says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 15, Jesus saith her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing Him to be the gardener, saith unto Him, sir, if thou hast borne Him hence, tell me where thou hast laid Him, and I will take Him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He said that one word. Look what happened. She turned herself and saith unto Him, Rabboni, which is say, Master. And then here's the supposed contradiction. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things. Now, back over here in Matthew 20, on Matthew 28. It says in John 20, he said, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended my Father. Over here they fell at his feet and they touched him. People who try to imagine the contradiction there do not believe this book. We approach this book in belief and faith that God's right and we're wrong. This book's right, it corrects us, not us correct it. When you come to it with that attitude, the Holy Spirit will give you something you've never seen before. Here it is. I'm going to try to help you get it. May the Holy Spirit nail it down in your life. Timeline. He shows up and tells Mary Magdalene, what? Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. He's in the role of the great high priest. He's got to take that blood that was shed, take it all the way to heaven, which if you tried to get to heaven from here, it'd be billions of years before you could make it traveling at light speed and all this other stuff. But he says, I got to go, I've not yet ascended to my Father. But yet we find in Matthew 28, we find a group of women here. And what does he tell them? All hail. He doesn't give them a chance to recognize him because one of them in the crowd's already ran into him and he told her, I've not yet ascended my Father. Now he's been there and now he's back like that. She went to get her group of hens to cackle with him and tell him the good news. And guess what? They showed up there and he showed back up. He met with them. Jesus met them. He met them intending for them to do that very thing. He had already been to his Father by this point in time and back. All in a few seconds. But the timeline between her seeing him and them, hour, 30 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it was, but those are two separate things and the other one comes first. That's belief. That's the belief that when God wrote this book, he laid it out in such a way that the only dim light bulbs that say that are lost dim light bulbs that's trusting in man over God's word, trusting in anything but saying this book's right. Isn't it crazy for people to sit around and try to tell you your Bible's wrong and they don't even read it? Now, ain't that something? Wouldn't it be something if we'd just say, you know what? We're gonna get rid of the scholars that's wanting their dollars. We're gonna go back to the Bible where you can find truth, not facts. Facts can be manipulated, but truth cannot. Truth is either truth or a lie. Now notice this. When he said in verse number 10, watch this, then said Jesus unto them, he tells them to be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me. So we see Jesus sent what Jesus said for them to deliver was one message, as tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me. So what are they supposed to do? What are they supposed to be told? Tell those 11 disciples, there's just 10 right now because one of them's whining somewhere else about, well, he's dead and it's all over. His name was Thomas, by the way. And he said, and when they tell him he's resurrected over in John, he said, well, except I stick my finger in the holes of his hand in his side, I might believe it's him. What a wonderful thing to say about a God that's been telling you for 3.5 years, I'm going to die by crucifixion, I'm going to be dead, but I'm going to rise again the third day. All they heard was dead and said, not so, Lord, we ain't letting you die. Lord, we ain't letting you die. You're not going to be the one to die. We'll stop them. We got concealed sword permits. We'll show you. Imagine that. Now watch this. They only had one liberal in the crowd, and that was Judas. I bet if you examine them all for swords, he's the only one that didn't carry one. You know Matthew had to carry one. He's a tax collector. He'd still be recognized every once in a while. Hey, ain't you got took my house? Oh, yeah. Ching, you know, yeah, I did do that, but I'm sorry I did that. Now, well, I got the sword on you. I was going to tell you, I've gotten saved. Don't fool me. I'm not like you used to be, you know. Now watch this. We see the certainty of the fact of the path of the brethren. The path of the brethren was to go to Galilee. And he sent these women to tell them. Here's a crazy thought for you. when Adam was deceived in the transgression, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, God laid the whole thing at his feet and charged him with it. Who actually did the thing first? Was it Adam or Eve? Here's women's redemption right here. He's giving them the message to take first. Go tell my brethren. Go tell them to go into Galilee and I'll meet them there. Simple message. He trusted them to do it. He's showing the entire female race, you've not fallen to the point where I can't save you. I'm saving you and giving you a message. Go tell them boys to go to Galilee. Yeah. It's not a hard message. But it's going to be something they're going to have to hear and they're going to have to respond to themselves. And what happens is we see another certainty surrounding the commission. If you look down here, we see the certainty of the priest and their bribe. Now it says, now in verse 11, we see the soldier's report says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. So they had to come tell these chief priests, which some of them, listen, believed in the resurrection, some did not. The general resurrection, that is. They walk in there and they say, listen, that stone got moved while we were asleep. Why were you asleep? You ain't going to believe this part, but this dude showed up. He had face with a countenance of lightning, and he had a white raiment on him, and we got so scared, we passed out. All the people that fall backwards in the Bible are lost. All they knew was what they saw. What happened when you woke up? Well, we woke up and that stone was rolled back. The seal we put on was broken. We walked in there. And the strangest thing, there was this place where only one body could be. And there was a thing folded up over here beside the burial clothes he had over there. So you mean to tell me they unwrapped the body and folded that thing up? I guess they did. All we know is when we saw that dude show up like that, it scared us to death. And when we woke up, we all left. There's the truth of the matter according to them. Verse 12, let's see what the priest's plan is. He said, when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money into the soldiers. There's your bribe. They said, we pay these boys off and they'll tell a story how we want it told. What was their tale? It wasn't a tale, it was a lie, and them taking money and telling it was a crime. And of all places where it shows up, what verse number is that? Imagine that. Saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now, if I'm not mistaken, if you're given a whole outfit of soldiers to guard one place, they shouldn't all be asleep at one time. They'd take shifts. So they got to lie about that. I wonder if Pilate catches wind of this thing and says, I don't see them boys a minute. Tell me which one of you is asleep while this is happening. Oh, it's all of us, sir. All of you, you're fired. In fact, since you let a dead guy get up and leave, you're executed next. I don't know that that happened, but I mean, you could see Pilate doing this, right? They've committed a crime, and the crime was letting a dead body get taken out of a graveyard with about 12 guys sitting there letting it happen. There's no way you roll back that stone without making enough noise to wake somebody up. There's no way you creep in there and take that body and unwrap it and do all that without making some kind of noise. We're basing this on their logic now. Yep. When in reality, he didn't go out the front door. He just went out. And the Bible tells us over in Leviticus, I believe it's chapter 23, him being the great high priest of our faith, he walked out the backside of that thing and waved a sheaf toward heaven to start with. All hail, amen. Listen to this. That meant the wave offerings passed, the lamb's been slain, the blood's been applied, and on down the line, and we got our Savior getting up out of the grave and a bunch of guys lying on him. And the certainty surrounding the Great Commission is literally the priest and their bride, the second certainty, and what they did was illegal, it was immoral, it was unethical, and unbecoming of a professing religious man. There's your other crime. You know, it's not right to bribe people. If it was, we'd have a bunch of crooked politicians in Washington, a bunch of crooked politicians in Columbia, and a bunch of crooked politicians in the city of Gaffney. If bribes were happening right now. What's that you just said in your mind? Well, Nancy Pelosi's worth how many millions of dollars and makes $100,000 a year or $80,000? Oh, well, she come from a rich family. Oh, she did she? Well, it's funny how she got a lot of money since she's been where she's at.
Yep.
I've been to Arkansas a bunch of times. I can't find nobody yet that's voted for Bill Clinton in that whole state. I can't find them at the airport. I mean, if they're from New Jersey or something, they voted for Clinton. But if they live there, they didn't vote for Clinton to make him governor, and they didn't want him to be president. And I thought to myself, are they lying to me? Maybe. Maybe there's a certain election got rigged long before this one did. So what happened in 2016? The dumbest person alive lost a rigged election. That's what happened. But listen to me very carefully. With all the lies, the adultery, dope smoking, and all this other garbage we've done, God put that man in office of president to rub our faces in it. Same way he did with these chief priests over here. You don't think they just happened to grow up and say, I want to be a chief priest, and they just got the office. Well, no, they had to join the Masonic Lodge first and get in with the brethren and all this other stuff and get, you know, backdoored into the thing. But here's the problem. God let all that happen because all these Jews, you remember that thing over there in, you know, the books you read and you say, well, I run into a word and I'll just say, will Byron go on? Yeah, them books. They tell in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles the wickedness of the rulers of the nation at that time. And God keeps telling through them prophets, even Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel on, Daniel on down, I will come visit your iniquity on you.
Right.
Did he do it? Well, Daniel lived 70 years in captivity over it. You know what got him out of that thing? He started reading the book of Jeremiah towards the end and started figuring out what's going on. How about that? One guy reads the Bible and says, hey, by the way, y'all, I found out what's happening to us. God already said it 70 some odd years ago. Jeremiah, there's tears on the pages where Jeremiah wrote it, but the thing happened just like God said he would. And listen, no country is exempt that turns their back on God. He didn't say if the Jewish nation turn away from me, they shall be turned into hell. He said any nation and all nations. If we turn our backs on God, guess what happens to us? Would you care to guess? You're seeing it right now. Instead of all hell being a call to worship, we're going Hail Caesar right now to somebody. Are you with me?
Come on.
The chief priests and their bride, listen, the crazy thing about them is that this is the same bunch that argue with Jesus and everything else, and now they've tried to stop the news of the resurrection. Can you say this with me? They called it the big lie. How about that? He didn't get up from the grave. Why? We talked to the soldiers. Listen to what they said. Here's a written testimony. Again, it's written down. It makes it true, right? But here's the other part of this. This is the part nobody wants to talk about. That's the place of the bride. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Now, we take this gathering to have happened with 1 Corinthians over there, where it said 500 witnesses saw him. This was probably right there. And they were to wait for the Lord's call, and here they were told to go to Galilee, but verse 18, we see the place of the bride, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given who? Unto me in two places." Only two places in the universe there are right now. Heaven and earth.
Well, I heard that preacher preach the other day. He said they wasn't on Mars.
Only two places in this universe that should ever matter to you at any given time is where you're at and where you're headed. You know what's funny about that Mars business? They still ain't found nobody. They've known for 25 years there's nobody up there. They're hoping there was. They're hoping they prove evolution up there, that there's in the pre-stages of evolution, that planet was just forming and about to grow into a human beings. You know that stuff's on Star Trek? But guess what? It's a TV show.
Right.
It's not true. You ever notice they got a cashless society on Star Trek? Full communism. That's what the whole thing is. You trying to figure out if Andy Griffith's good. Star Trek been looking at you since 1967. No wonder. Listen, 1950, some guy came along saying, don't spank your children. What was his name again? Was it Dr. Spock? Oh, yeah, I believe it was. Who's the number one guy beside Kirk there? Yeah, crazy, right? They named that for a reason. And if you want to hear something even more crazier than that, the Jews, them chief priests, according to this Bible, are enemies of the gospel for your sake. Guess what William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy are? Both of them's Jews. How'd that happen on your TV like that? It's in black and white. You couldn't tell it. Now watch this. This is where this is going to get even better. All what? Verse 18. All what? All power. Don't be whining about what a failure you are to anybody. Your Savior's not a failure. You were intended to be a failure. What you do doesn't work, but what he does works because he has all
power.
Let me say it again. He has all
power.
What do you have then? If you have eternal life, it's because eternal life's inside you and it's a person. Him. And if he's inside you and he has all power, it's like living in a house with a full pantry. You take a can out to go fix something, you can come back, there's two cans in its place type power. I saw a refrigerator the other day. Me and Brandon was supposed to be buying something else, so we was looking at refrigerators. And there's one you can get that'll, you place certain things in there, when them certain things get gone, it'll go ahead and make an order for your groceries to be delivered for you. Who'd have thunk that? Now, there is a little small, tiny $6,000 catch that goes with getting that refrigerator. You was in until I said that, wasn't you? Now, listen. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. There's not a problem I got that he can't fix. And if he can't fix it, he'll fix me to be able to deal with the problem. Why do you think of the very last thing he said, I'll be with you always? That's because some of your plans ain't going to work out. I had great plans when my oldest son was born. Great plans for him. Then we found out his handicap. Said, what happened? Our plans changed abruptly. And then we had to decide what we was going to do. So we tried everything, tried all the doctors. Of course, they raped and pissed. Just like a bunch of Vikings pulling into an unarmed town. Yes, I fired a doctor over Spartanburg to his face. I recognized the diplomas in the same year as all. They all graduated together. He sent me to his buddies to get all the money they can get off of us. By the end of all the doctor visits, I didn't have money. I was borrowing money. This is back when we both had real good jobs making all that big money. I think we was making $7 an hour, boy, we was knocking down the dollar. See, that's minimum wage, some of you people. Now, back 25, 30 years ago, that's big money. That's three times the minimum wage back then. We was knocking it down. I mean, when I left that job with ministry, I done got up to $12 an hour. Ooh, that's big money. Now they tell me, give us $15 for what? Flipping hamburgers? Go to college. Then don't say you ain't got the money, because Spartanburg, Texas, anybody in Cherokee County wants to come. That's what they said. They trying to give you a helping hand up, and you say, no, I want $15 an hour. Shut up. Bunch of ingrates. Listen. You want $15 an hour, get you an education to back up that and say you can do something for $15 an hour. Weld, electricity, plumbing, lay bricks, something other than sitting at your house whining, playing video games, telling you want $15 an hour. You want to work now for $7. What you going to do with $15? Even less? Back to the message. Back to the previously scheduled broadcast. The place of the bride. What happens? He said, all power is given to me where? Heaven and in earth. Now listen to this. If he's going to give me that, I believe I got everything under control. We went out and had to fool with all them doctors, had to do all that other stuff, and then we found out that our son was never going to be any different than he was. And the strangest thing happened. We get one pediatrician every time we walk in there. I'll try to do her voice as best I can. Do you want DNR order on son right now? Well, no, we don't. If we'd listened to her, he'd have been, 6 years old and died. They'd let him die. But instead, we let him live. Why? God's time is different than everybody else's. Very different. The kid that wasn't supposed to see two saw 27. Why? Because of all the power. Amen. Well, wait a minute, preacher, I got you. God never healed him. God never intended to heal him. Boy, let's drive these charismatics nuts. They can't stand this. Do you think my son was possessed of a devil because he was disabled? They do. They won't tell me that, but they'll tell that when none of us is around. You know why? Because they're a bunch of messed up people that don't believe this book. Yep. They don't believe the Apostle Paul when he said husband one wife. So what in the world are they going to do with 2 Corinthians 12:9 when he said that I've asked God several times to heal me of this thing? God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The guy that could touch people and heal them and bring the dead back to life couldn't get healing himself. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know what we learned through all that? God's grace is sufficient. And over and over and over and over he proved it. And he's still proving it. God's good.
Amen.
What was them songs we sang a while ago? Where's the list, Dad? It's up here somewhere. Listen to this. Precious Lord, take my hand. What's the next line of that song? Roger says that. Lead me. Not, Lord, you come with me. Lord, lead me. I lived for 20-something years. It didn't work out at all. And then we sang a song called Just a Closer Walk. Did you hear it? I know we ain't practiced, but did y'all hear the words to that song? That's what all the good singers say, ain't it? Turn me up, you know. Just a closer walk with who? Talking about the Lord. Listen to this one. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What does that indicate? That's why somebody's tired and can't go on. And you've had life beat you up and whoop you up one side down the other and put you on the deck. And now you can't hardly stand up. In fact, if that had been a 10 count, they'd be up to 30 before you got up.
Come on.
You got to get up and lean on somebody. He says, I'm right here.
Right.
Listen to this one. I can't even walk without what? Oh my goodness. Every one of these songs is about you can't, he can.
That's right.
All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. You know why I don't believe in UFOs? Because they're not in this book.
Right.
You know why I don't believe in extraterrestrials? They're not in this book. Wait a minute, preacher. I saw a flying saucer. You got either wild imagination, LSD, or government is testing something they don't want nobody to find out about yet. A UFO is described a lot of times years past as a bat-looking wing, like a bat creature was coming out of the sky, and it could stop in midair and go to the right and go to the left. And then they said, we got this thing called the stealth bomber. Guess what it can do? They don't have to have a runway or anything. You just go straight up when it takes off. You thought you saw a UFO. Too bad. And by the way, all them other things that people have been seeing over the years... Yeah, we now can buy them at Best Buy. They're called drones. Are you with me so far? Then we get to our last song we sang today. It was a fast one too. Jesus, hold my hand. What's the place of the bride? Hang on. Just hang on. You know why he wants us to hang on? Because he's got this.
Right.
Some way, somehow, when people do right, bad things happen. Do you think that caught this all power by surprise? Well, not at all. He saved you, put you in church, and gave you something. I'm going to read it to you. It's called the Book of Job. That's what most Christians, they first get saved. They say, I know I need to get a job. It's in the Bible. Then somebody finally preaches on it, says the guy's name's Job. And they go, okay. And you find out Job did right. Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man that's born is a few of days and full of trouble. How'd that happen? Sin's in the world. It's the general answer. Why'd it happen to me? I'm saved. Why's it happen to me? Well, all the dumb decisions you made before you got saved. Well, I'm doing right now. Job was doing right. What happened? Lost all his money, lost all his cattle, lost all his... We had to bury one last year. It about killed us. I can't imagine burying 10 at one time. Mm-hmm. That had to take the pews. That had to take out the first four rows of pews where he did that just out of the funeral. And then here comes his friends. So you got in your Bible a book there where he that has all power in heaven and earth explains to you in detail what's going on. It may be behind the curtains there. God told the devil, I can use him or her. And the devil says, let me touch him and we'll see. We get knocked off the horse because we think one little bad thing happens or we get convinced that our whole life's a failure and we've done stupid things. That you don't dwell on that. God said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Why? He wants to change your thinking. Romans 12, he wants to renew your mind daily. How are we going to do that? In the Word of God and prayer. How are we going to keep doing that? We got the lights turned on now. All power. Now watch this. He tells his disciples, go ye therefore and do one thing. Just one thing. Mark 16, he says, preach the gospel. Matthew 28, he said, teach all nations. Acts chapter 1, he says, be witness to them. One thing. The message is not, thou shalt ladies always wear the dress, men shall wear the pants, or you ain't going to heaven. That's not the message. Is that right, what I just said? Well, sure it is. I said it right. That's good enough for you. You don't have to have a Bible on. Your preacher said, you know, that type of thing. Here's what the truth of it is. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the message they all need to hear. The next time you go to a funeral and the guy preaches the gospel and don't call you dead relative's name, thank God he preached the gospel. If they have my funeral, I want it here. If they never mention my name, I'm good with it. Just preach the gospel. Once they get saved, you know what we'll do? We'll take a Bible, we'll disciple them people, we'll tell them about being baptized, and we'll tell them it's in the Bible right there. We found the verse this morning where it's at, and we found out how you're supposed to do it. You baptize them. And by the way, all this much says, well, that word just means to immerse. I beg to differ. If that was the case, you'd all be dead from drowning when you got baptized. Observe, immerse. Right? This they bring them back up. Look at it right there in your Bible. It's baptizing them. So we've been doing it wrong all these years. We've got to hold you under and say, in the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy. Anybody got a doctor in the house? I think this one's bubbled out here. No. Baptize. in the likeness of Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 6, death, burial, and resurrection. That's what that word baptized means. You do that with water in a full tank or a river or a stream or a swimming pool or whatever you got. The deal is cover them up in water, not sprinkle it on top of their head. Baptize. Now here's the other good part about this. We got the place of the bride. We're told what to do, and we're told how to do it and who to do it to. All nations. There's nobody beyond his reach. We're to wait for the Lord's call, obey the Lord's command. He says baptizing them, and it says in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then he says teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Here's the backside of the Great Commission. You get them saved, you baptize them, you tell them the gospel, they get saved. Jesus does the saving now. He puts them in the church that he paid for with his own blood, and what happens to them then? You teach them what he's taught you. How many things? How many does it say? All of them. If we had to go by that, I'm afraid most preachers would probably have one or two messages. Because they've been stealing messages out of commentaries, stealing them out of outline books, and going around deer hunting and fishing and not doing their work and not reading the Bible and not studying. But that's okay. We're full of church members that don't read the Bible, don't pray, don't study, and don't do anything. And we point to Washington as the problem. Oh, no, this Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. If we're ever going to see a nationwide revival, it's going to happen at the altar of a little old church somewhere. Don't worry about the big churches. They ain't paying attention. They done seen what time it was that, oh, Lord have mercy, the Methodist is already at his restaurant, and we're going to fire our preacher if he does this to us again. But we'll show him. We won't come back Sunday night and Wednesday night. You mean we even have services in? See what I'm saying? There's such a complacency about people. They can't wait to get out the door. Now watch this. I'm looking right here and he says, whatsoever I've commanded you. The only thing I can tell you is what he told me out of this book. Anything else is my opinion and mine alone. He said to do what? To teach them everything I've shown you. Now there's one thing that you're going to miss right here. If you ain't careful, he that said all power said, I have commanded you and lo, I am with you. How long? How long again? I'm afraid you're missing this. Let's look at it one more time. What does he exactly say? I am with you.
Always.
Singular. You've got one life to live. I'll be there always to stretch out the whole thing. I'm going to be there for you. You know what that helps me do? That beats the depression, the devil, and any other deriding that comes along in my life because I have him with me. Listen, I had something fixed years ago that it took me years to get it fixed. You ever fix something? It's like, now I've got to fix that thing. Listen to me. My wonder got fixed. How about that? So what happened? I was somewhere, we had to take one of the kids to the doctor, I'm sitting there reading the Bible, and my daily Bible reading approached the great and majestic 23rd Psalm. And the Holy Ghost directed my attention to verse 1. I break down in tears telling her about this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. You mean all them wants I've been saying to myself and everybody else? You mean to tell me he's heard all that? Boy, I was dropping tears. I felt so embarrassed by that. I have him. That's all I need. For me to live as Christ and die as gain, that's all I needed. And you know what it helped me to understand? I don't have to want for anything. He's already got all of it. If he wants me to have it, he'll break off a piece and hand it to me. Young people, y'all want a lot of money in your life. Because if you do, I'm going to tell you a secret. Quit wishing it and get a job. And don't spend any money. No matter what. Except when you have to. Like for important things. like cable TV and Netflix and important things. By the way, there's a current trend going on. I hope you haven't been caught by it. Everyone was just $5 a month through the little app. Before long, you got 10 apps for $5. And then you know, they send the email and say, we got to go up to 10 with all the economy stuff. What? Now you went from $50 to $100 a month and you don't even know where that money went? Be careful. Observe all things he's commanded you. Don't trust the financial planner. Go to Proverbs. Read Proverbs. Catch all the finances in there and do what he says. Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now here's where it gets rough on you. He said always, right? You know what that tells me? I got to get my head up. I got to stand where I'm at. Always. Present and continue. Always. He may not have been there before, but he's here now. When people says, well, I like going to church. I like going to church too, but I like meeting with him. And guess what? If I bring him in with me and you bring him in, there's two of us. He'll show up in the midst of that thing. The place of the bride is to wait for the Lord's call and obey the Lord's command. Do you know what you miss out on in a liberal church? They don't have missions offerings. You know that people have come to me and told me, since we started Promise Missions, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. How'd that happen again? God did it. He said, I'll be with you always. I'll be your shepherd. You shall not want. I'll meet all your need. I have everything. Don't go begging the world. Do you know when George Bush was in office, they sent out a thing, the churches had some kind of faith action plan where they'll give you things? I want nothing they got. You know why? I've lived long enough to realize that when they give you something, there's a string attached, and they're going to pull that string on you one day. It might be we don't want you to preach on abortion and homosexuality. That might be a string to pull. It might be that we're going to do some illegal acts on monitoring your devices. Never mind Edward Snowden. He's a traitor. That's what you hear him say. There'll be a string attached. How was it again? Can you remind me what we needed to start this year that everybody wanted and nobody could provide at the time? Do you remember what it was? We nearly froze to death till we got the thing put in. You've forgotten it already, hadn't you? You said, how'd we get that? Through the government stimulus. That ain't the way to get everything. Oh, no, well, I forgot. We didn't get one of them for the church. But God sent us one. He stimulated the air conditioning system here in the heating system, and we got a new one, and now you ain't freezing. In fact, I had him turn the thing down to freezing this morning because I was burning up. Amen. Now, that is, don't say a word over there. You just cover up that blanket and don't say a word. The place of the bride's what? Listen for the call and obey the command that comes from that call. Paul said, this one thing I do. What was his one thing? He had one job, just one. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. That's all he did. What happened every time he tried to go to the Jewish synagogue? Do you remember? They either stoned him, argued with him, or attacked him. And we think we're under persecution now. Imagine trying to pull that off every Saturday. And instead, he said, you know what? He finally, in the book of Acts, says, I'm going to go to the Gentiles like God said. They ordained him and Barnabas and sent him out, and they went out starting churches in Corinth, the region of Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae. I mean, they went out and did exactly what God said. They passed through Berea, went into Thessalonica, all in places because the church knew her place. And he was part of that church and done what God said, the way God said do it, and guess what happened? Now you name your kids Paul. Ain't that right, Jason Paul? How about that? How about that? Anybody else named Paul in here? I leave Brother Fane, is your middle name Paul or anything? No? Okay. Shelby's name's Paul? He looked right at you when I said that. But the question you've got to ask and answer to yourself is this. Are you fulfilling Jesus Christ's call to action. Are you feeling that? I sat in a church one time, and I sat beside Remy Campbell, and while we sat there, the funniest thing happened. No, his cell phone didn't go off, it was something else. The pastor of that church sat on this side. He wasn't doing right. Dr. Carter pointed out everything he was doing wrong and said, the reason this church is this, you're doing this. And I remember sitting in that same spot years before he done that to me. Now, I could have got mad and said, well, he'll never come back here and preach. I don't know. Instead, I took into consideration what he said. And I got into the house. I said, tell me something. Tell me what to do. I said, I obviously don't know what to do right. Tell me what to do. He told me. I started doing right. It worked. So years later, when I'm sitting there, I kept hearing him talking to that guy and saying all that. And then the guy got up and said the most amazing thing. He got up there and said, I know God wants to save somebody here tonight. Totally went south. Whole meeting did. He ain't in business no more. There comes a time in your life God confronts you with, are you going to feel what I told you to do? He's gave you one thing. Just one. And if you want to narrow it down even further than that, you know what the one thing you do is? You follow him. That's different for everybody, I'm sure. But here's the thing. Are you fulfilling that call? Everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody wants to point out everybody else ain't doing it. But are you doing that? When people say, well, they're going to get saved whether I talk to them or not. No, he didn't say that. He said talk to them anyway. Be ye witnesses unto me. About what? Death, burial, and resurrection. How are you sufficient to save sinners? Same message, same outcome. Will you do that? Are you doing that? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.